Hello, good afternoon. It's Anna Maria Scaglia here, Head of IR at Italgas. I start apologizing. We had some technical issues. Hope you are all well and you're able to connect. We will walk today through Italgas first quarter results. I'm joined by Mr. Gallo, our CEO, and Mr. Antonio Paccioretti, our General Manager. We will address any question you have been sending to us at the end of the presentation. For any further question pending, the dial-in will then open. I will leave now the floor to our CEO, Mr. Gallo.
Good afternoon to everybody, and I again apologize for the delay. I mean, the operator has some problem in connecting everybody. I've been waiting like 15 minutes on the telephone in order to get access. But sorry for that. First of all, let me say that we hope that you and your family and your friends are all safe and well in this unprecedented situation that we are all of us are experiencing. I will move to page number two. Hopefully, somebody will switch. We'll move the page to show you the page that I'm going to comment. In page number two. We have reported the major result that we achieved in the first quarter of 2020. And in those results are showing the resilience of our business model in these difficult times. I'm very proud, and that was what we discussed during the board of directors of this morning. I'm very proud by the ability that our people have shown during this day to change from one day to another the way that we operate our network. Let me say that thanks to a decision that were made a couple of years ago about cloud transition and the digital transformation, it of course we didn't make because we thought that there was a pandemic coming. But thanks to those decisions, we have been able to react with no problem at all to a completely different environment. And moreover, all the digital technologies that we can use will be leveraged in the next weeks to restart our activity. We will discuss in a few moments in more detail about it. Looking at our core number. I'm sure that you have imagined a reduction in our net profit, and that is mainly due by the very penalized new regulatory system that started January 1st, 2020. The upper part of the profit and loss account enjoy the consolidation of Toscana Energia, that impacted either the revenues, the EBITDA, and the EBIT. And we will tell you, and what is also important, we will go into more detail, is to see that no matter of the situation in the first quarter of 2020, we recorded the highest value of investment. We passed the 200 million. We will talk, and Antonio will talk later about the consolidated net debt that slightly increased in respect to the end of 2019. And in fact, the reason why there has been a slight increase is because at the end of March, we took care of our supplier. We anticipated some of the payment because we wanted to be sure that all our supplier, that I would probably call now more partner than supplier, are safe, are in healthy condition, because we will count on them to restart next week in our activity. So let me skip to the following page, page number three, where I'm going to show you the investment we made in the first quarter. There has been a significant change in our investment, as you can see. The metering, that has been always a significant number in the past couple of years, has now represent only 15% of the total investment, and that is, we expected that. The investment in the smart meter have been slightly impacted by COVID-19 in the months of March. We will explain later. But overall, our investment, even without considering Toscana Energia, that is about 12 million, so it's a minor number, registered a significant increase in respect of last year. As I said, 75% of the investment are relevant to the network. And it's extremely important, these numbers, because we have seen growing from a physical point of view in terms of adding new kilometer of pipes, connecting the LPG isolated distribution network with our network. So by 2020, all our LPG distribution network, excluding Sardinia, in all the other regions in Italy, will be converted to natural gas. And of course, Sardinia, we have built until nearly the end of March 165 kilometers of new network in Sardinia, passing the total of 600 kilometers. So we are around 60% of the overall network. Regarding the smart meters, we expected a reduction, as you can see, in terms of number of smart meter installed, because we are moving toward the end of the replacement program, that even with the delay caused by the COVID-19 will be completed by the end of 2020. We have seen a decrease in respect of our plan replacement, because during the month of March, we were unable to go to the final customer and replacing the old meters with the smart one. You will also notice that there has been a slight increase in the unit cost of each smart meter installed. Again, something that we expected, because the increase is only related to the installation cost. As you can understand, we are not replacing anymore 2 million of smart meter, so we cannot enjoy the economy of scale as we enjoyed last year. And on top of that, the meters that we are going to replace with the smart ones are located, let me say, in a more difficult area, and therefore it will require additional effort from our person and from our supplier to replace them. Nevertheless, our final cost of the total cost installation plus the smart meter is, in any event, lower than the amount recognized as a standard by the regulator. Let me now skip the page and move to page number 4. I want to take a few minutes of this presentation talking about the impact and how we react regarding the COVID-19. First of all, from an impact on our activities. Since February 21st, that was the first day that it was discovered the first positive case in Italy nearby Milano, we set up an emergency agile team that is composed by five senior staff that during these 2 months have overlook all the situation and have decided on a daily basis which action should be taken in order to guarantee the health and safety of our personnel. And therefore, we have, during these 2 months, we have released subsequent indication to our personnel and to the personnel of our supplier how they should operate in a safe and healthy condition. During the months of March, except the smart metering installment, everything else has been went more or less as planned until March 22nd, when we were forced by the government decree to stop all the activity except the ones related to maintenance and related to operation in general that should maintain the safety of the network and the continuity of supply. So we have continued to guarantee and to monitor our network. For example, we have increased the use of our Picarro vehicles to detect any potential leakage in our network in order to, again, guarantee safety and continuity of the supply. Regarding the payment that we receive from our commercial counterpart, as of March, we have collected, I mean, the rate, the percentage of collection was aligned to any previous quarter, in some cases even higher. So for March for the March period, we didn't experience any delay in payment from our commercial counterpart. In the meantime, we, as I said before, we have guaranteed and we have accelerated in some cases the payment of our supplier because, as I said, for us it's crucial that our supplier remain stable and healthy from a financial point of view in order that they will be able to immediately restart activity, hopefully starting next week. To ensure the restart of the activity next week, we have also increased our inventory in terms of, for example, smart meter, but also other material, in order to be sure that at the restart of the activity, we have everything that we need in order to reopen the construction of new network, doing the proper maintenance and replacing the old meter. Because, as you know, we are entering into what is called phase two, starting from May 4th, we have already established a very detailed plan, a very detailed condition that have been agreed with the trade unions at national level. So from next Monday, the operation will restart. All the operations that are, let me say, that are at the open air, of course, with no problem. There will be some restriction about activities that are that should be done inside residential house. And also our people will start to go to the office, of course, with a limited number for the time being, in order to ensure that our population will not get any positive situation. Let me skip and spend a little bit more time about the focus on our people. As I said already, our first thought since the beginning of the pandemic was to guarantee the health and the safety of our personnel. So all our personnel has been working since the beginning of March in a smart working mode, and we didn't find any problem in doing that. Thanks to our digital transformation, otherwise we would have been in much more trouble, would have experienced much more trouble than not the situation like we are now. We have taken specific care for the personnel with pre-existing medical condition, putting them on a pay leave, and not only, but we have extended to all our staff, all our personnel, a special health insurance to cover them in case they become positive. And finally, we have also made a special donation to several hospitals in Italy and to Protezione Civile. We have launched internally a call for donating of working hours, and we have collected 7,000, more than 7,000 working hours donated by our employees, for which I'm very proud of. And the value, the correspondent value in terms of money has been matched by the same amount of money by Italgas, and this amount of money will be donated, the total amount of money will be donated to Protezione Civile. Let me spend another couple of slides, always on COVID-19, to show you also some numbers. We have experienced during the last couple of months an unprecedented disruption in our operation. We had 20% prioritized intervention that has been done with additional safety measure for employee and for the customer in order to guarantee the safety and the continuity of supply. We have experienced a reduction in the emergency call that was quite unexpected by nearly 40%. And then thanks to the fact that we have seen an increase in the gas consumption and a more stability in gas consumption that has resulted in a more stable pressure inside the gas network. We have increased the success rate of the critical intervention by 27%. I always made the comparison quarter to quarter, of course, as you can understand, thanks to the application, the planning application that we have developed and put in place. And as I said, we have put on leave, paid leave for health reason, about 5 to 7% of all our personnel. Moving to slide 7, there are other important numbers that I would like to share with you. All our personnel was able to work remotely. Also thanks to the fact that all our personnel, including technicians, workers, employee, managers, now everybody have either one iPhone or one iPad or both of them. That was a decision that we took last year, and we ended the distribution of all these mobile devices to everybody, fortunately in February, so we were ready to face the pandemic with all the people having one mobile devices available. And in fact, the result of that situation is that what was normal before in terms of virtual power network connection, so the numbers of personal computer connected remotely to our network was less than 200 personal computer per day. Today we have an average of more than 2,000. So 2,000 person every day, more than 2,000 person every day are connecting themselves with the personal computer to our system, IT system, and with such big increase, we didn't experience any problem thanks to the cloud selection and decision we made a couple of years ago. The number of video conference increased by 1,000%. The number of messages, the chat activity between our employer increased by 700%. So there are huge numbers that have shown that the decision we took a couple of years ago to completely transform our company into a digital one was a decision that has helped us to face such an unpleasant situation, and it will help us to move very fast in the next weeks and months to restart our activities. Let's move to page 8. So let's start to discuss about our result. In the page 8, there is a comparison between the profit and loss account in the first quarter of 2020 in comparison to 2029. Let me say that, first of all, in 2020, the Toscana Energia full consolidation in respect to the 2019, when the Toscana Energia, the consolidation of Toscana Energia is at equity level. So thanks to the consolidation of Toscana Energia, the full consolidation, and the carryover of the M&A of last year, we were able to reduce the negative impact of the Delibera, the new regulatory framework. And also the 9 million euros capital gains that we booked last year, that is the sale, that was the sale of our very old office in Torino and the cars. Operating expenses increased by 9% due to the enlarged perimeter. Depreciation amortization, Antonio will explain later, was impacted by cost of scan energy consolidation, and then tax rate was in line with our guidance, but Antonio will dedicate later on trying to illustrate also the tax rate. Let me move to a more detailed analysis regarding revenues and cost. Revenues, we have shown you two pages. One is the, let me say, the standard one, the format, the standard format that we always show to you. I will ask you to move to page 9, where I think there is a very nice representation of the different impact of the revenues on the first quarter of 2020. The increase of the revenues was equal to 5.2% in the first quarter. And that is due to the a number of effects. Let's analyze one by one. The new regulatory framework has impacted us by 10 million. The new regulatory framework has many negative components and very few positive. The negative components are the reduction of the WACC for metering from 6.8 to 6.3. The big reduction in the OPEX recognition, that is by 5.5 euro per redelivery point. The reduction is always in euro per number per redelivery point about the centralized OPEX. Those all the three are negative. Of course, the major one is the 5.5 euro per redelivery point. And then there is one small positive, that is the release of the frozen grant that we received many years ago, for which there is a very positive and limited amount. So if we want to sum up in a quarter, the impact of the delivery has been equal to 10 million. And you can, I mean, it's a linear situation. So if you want to have the impact for the full year, you have to multiply this number by 4. Fortunately, we have been able to limit the amount of these by all the investment that we made in last year that has shown an increase mainly for the increase of RAB in terms of revenue that is equal to 5.2 million euro. And then we have Toscana Energia, that is a full consolidation. We have carryover M&A, so M&A that did not exist in the first quarter 2019. I'm talking about mainly Conscop, so the acquisition we made relevant to some concession in Italy, in the peninsula, and the concession we made, and we will see later, concession that we acquired in Sardinia. There is a reduction in the contribution for the meter replaced. Let me make a comment on this one. We have used previous criteria, so we didn't introduce the criteria, the new criteria introduced by the new regulatory system, because it was not very clear for us the wording of the delibera about how much we are going to be recognized for the depreciation that we lost for an accelerated replacement of the meters. And we are waiting, and the second reason is that we are waiting a document from the regulator that will give us more details about how to calculate. Let me just say, for the sake of clarity, that if we will be able to recover for the meters replaced during the first quarter of 2020, so I'm not talking about the past, I'm just talking about the first quarter of 2020, the amount of revenues that we will able to increase, it will be in the range of 5 million euro. So but for the time being, because we are not sure about the number, we didn't include this number. But in case the regulator will recognize 100% of what we have lost in replacing before the end of the regulatory life of the meters that were replaced during the first quarter, we should receive an amount that is in the range of 5 million euro. So, finally, two other components. We have seen some reduction of activities, especially during the month of March, the activity in terms of regulated activity. So the service that we provide to our commercial customer, such as closing the meters because they don't receive payment and other stuff like that. But let me say that even if you show less revenues, we will have also less cost because the marginality of this activity is very limited. And finally, there is the famous capital gain that was recorded in the first quarter of 2019 about the sales of the headquarter, of the old headquarter in Torino, and the sales of the cars. That of course is not. It was we don't have in the first quarter of 2020. So these are the explanation, quite detailed, about the evolution of the revenues. Let's move to the cost. Here, again, there are two slides, the traditional one, and then we have the more friendly one, giving the explanation of the different effects. You can look at both of them. One is on page 11, the other one is on page 12. So, first of all, if we try to consider what we consider on a like-for-like basis, the comparison of the operating expenses in the first quarter of 2020 in comparison with the first quarter of 2019, we can show you that we have reduced the cost by 2.5 million euro. That represent 2.7% versus the previous year. We have always said that we will try to stay in the range between 2% and 3% per year of cost reduction. Again, even in a difficult time, we were able to accomplish that on a like-for-like basis, of course. To arrive to the final number of the operating expenses, we need to add Toscana Energia. As we had added the revenues, we need to add also the cost by nearly 10 million euro. I'm on page 12. There is 3.2 million of carryover of the M&A. As I said before, we were able to have M&A in the first quarter of 2020 that were not present in 2019. More revenues, but also more cost. Then we have a decrease relevant to the white certificate. As you know, the white certificate, the ministry decree was canceled by the court and subsequent also the determination by the regulator. We have made, waiting for the new proposal from the regulator, we have put a numbers that is consistent with the regulation that exists prior to the ones that was canceled. We will see in due course during the year what is going to be the regulatory proposal in order to eventually update this number. Also as in the first quarter, it's been impacted by the donation. The amount that we donated to the, as I said before, to seven hospital in Italy and to Protezione Civile. I'm going to finish this presentation, my part, and I will pass the floor to Antonio, who will continue to explain the other numbers. Antonio, please, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Paolo. Good afternoon, everybody. We are now on slide 13. Consolidated EBIT amounted to 123 million, almost flat year-on-year. This is the result of, first, 8 million euro increase in EBITDA, mainly due to the revenues increase of 16 million and the cost increase of 8 million already commented. Second, almost 9 million euro increase in D&A, mainly driven by the three following elements. Higher network and metering depreciation related to the CapEx carried out during the last 12 months for 6 million. The consolidation of Toscana Energia, 11 million. Those all items were partially compensated by the lower acceleration depreciation, 9 million, related to the reduction of the economic life of the meters. As we are close to the complete replacement of the entire traditional meter pool, the accelerated depreciation are lower than last year. Moving to slide 14, the first quarter 2020 profit reached 74.9 million euros, down 13% versus first quarter 2019. Net financial expenses were 13 million euros in the quarter, with an average cost of 1.1% in reduction by almost 10 basis points versus last year. The slightly lower average cost of debt was offset by the cost of the higher gross average debt for around 0.8 billion euros. Income from associates decreased by 5 million, mainly related to Toscana Energia, now fully consolidated. Toscana Energia consolidation also explained the higher minorities. Finally, we accounted for 30 million euros of income taxes. Our tax rate is around 27%, in line with our expectations, versus 26.4% last year when Toscana Energia was equity accounted. In the first quarter 2020, the cash flow from operation amounted to 174 million euro, and was generated by net profit of 80 million before minorities, plus D&A and other non-monetary items equal to 96 million. Let's look in more detail to the change in working capital. At this time in the year, the billing seasonality usually implies a positive contribution from working capital, and we have been collecting revenues in line with the pre-COVID-19 situation. However, in light of the current COVID-19 situation, we have decided, as highlighted by Paolo before, to support our vendors and suppliers, which led to a working capital increase of around 60 million. The health of our value chain will be particularly important when all the activities will be allowed to restart. We also carry out some restocking of smart meters, around 10 million, in order to ensure availability of materials. All this had some negative temporary impact on our working capital. We are working to have, for the full year, a neutral working capital impact on the cash flow. The net cash generated allowed us to almost entirely finance the significant technical investment, around 210 million euro, the M&A activity, 6 million, carried out in the first quarter, thus resulting in the increase of 40 million of our net debt position. Looking at our debt structure on page 14, you might notice that little has changed since we reported 2019 full year number in March. In particular, refinancing needs are very limited and no major refinancing is due before 2022. Our bonds, 71% of the total, have a very long average maturity of about 8 years, and our longest European Investment Bank line expires in 2037. We maintain a significant amount of liquidity of 200 million and undrawn committed credit lines of 500 million euros. 88% of our gross financial debt is at fixed rate. At this stage, we have not seen any significant change in the access to credit, yet we believe maintaining a strong financial position, low exposure to interest rate risk, and low refinancing risk is a core of our business model. We are working to ensure that this is not affected by our current condition. Moving on to the balance sheet, net invested capital amounted to 6.4 billion euro at the end of the first quarter, with an increase of around 120 million compared to the end of 2019. The increase is mainly driven by CapEx in the first quarter, 210 million, and depreciation, 104. As commented in the previous slide, consolidated net debt was equal to €4,450 million, excluding the Ferrari impact, with an increase of 40 million compared to the year end 2019, and maintaining the leverage ratio in line with our guidance. Let me now return the floor to Paolo for the closing remarks.
Thank you, Antonio. I want to just to close the this presentation and waiting for the waiting for your answer. I want to just to recap some of the points that I have already made. We have shown our ability to react to the COVID-19. That has been a situation that none of us has experienced in the past. Our priority has been, since February 20, the health and the safety of our personnel and the personnel of our supplier. Now our priority is to restart the activity, to restart the investment, because as you know, and I said that many times, our investments are the most precious one for the Italian economy. We need to thank all our people that in these 2 months have been acting, they've been doing their activity in an incredible way. The result that we were able to show to you today are the result that they have achieved in these 3 months. We need to thank the digital transformation we put in place, because now we have an incredible tool. I would say we have an incredible tools that we will use in order to guarantee health and safety of our personnel. In the meantime, can you hear me? Because I receive a message. Anna? Okay, I will continue. Hopefully, everybody are listening. In the meantime, okay, somebody has written to me that there are people that are listening to me. Okay. So I will say we have incredible tools that have demonstrated to be extremely effective during these 2 months, and these tools will help us to provide health and safety
Thank
to our personnel and the personnel of our supplier in order to restart the activity. I wanted to make one single example that show to you the effect of our digital program. We have developed, as you know, an application that this application let us remotely control the construction in progress. So, for example, we can remotely control the construction in progress in Sardinia from our virtual control room in Torino. Now that the construction in Sardinia, but also in the other part of Italy, will restart, not only our supplier should have all the masks, gloves, all what is needed to work safely and healthy, but also they need to have in place our application. In that way, we can control remotely the construction progress without having obliged to send people to look after the construction, and certify the amount of activity that has been done. That is one example, but I can make a very long list of example of new technology that we developed in the last couple of years and now are extremely useful to restart the activity. So I wish you, all of you, of to you and your friends and your family to stay safe, and to follow all the procedure that have been set by our government in order to restart the activity from one side, but to limit, to avoid a restart of positive case all over Italy. Thank you, and now we are open to all question, you may want to pose or you have already asked Anna Maria about it. Thank you.
Okay, hi, sorry, it's Anna Maria again. So, hope I'm not repeating, but on working capital impact from COVID situation and in general, we received several questions. I divide in three parts. The first one is if we are facing any different increase in terms of counterparty risk. The second group of questions was related to the net working capital and therefore if we have seen impact on payments. And the third question is related to what could be the impact still related to payments but linked to volume, if there's been any volume risk.
Okay. On the first question is, the answer is very easy. As you know, around 70-80% of our commercial customer are very big companies like Eni, Enel, Edison, Acea. So we don't see counterpart risk growing because they are big companies, and therefore we don't see that is happening. Let me skip and go to the last question Anna Maria made regarding the volume risk. Having said that, there is no counterpart risk. From a volume risk point of view, you know that we don't have a risk on the volumes delivered. You know that there is, at the end of the year, there is the comparison between the amount that we have invoiced and the amount that we should have been invoiced. And if there is a difference, the difference will be compensating the following year. Having said that, so we don't have a volume risk. I don't know if any of you have seen the first quarter level of consumption. Everybody were expecting a reduction in gas consumption. That is what happened. But on our segment of activity, so that are residential, commercial, we have seen an increase in Italy, about 13% in gas consumption. And that is mainly driven by the month of March, because during the month of January and February, thanks to the higher temperature, higher external temperature, the consumption was lower in comparison to the first quarter of 2019. So in the first quarter of 2020, we have experienced an increase of natural gas consumption by more than 13%, thanks to, you can imagine, people staying at home and using more gas than before, even though in our segment you also need to consider restaurants, small commercial activities that on the other end have experienced a reduction in consumption. So overall, our segment has seen an increase of 13% in natural gas consumption. Anna Maria, the second question was relevant to the net working capital, right?
Yes.
As already explained by Antonio, the first quarter has seen an acceleration, I also said, in terms of payment to our supplier, and an increase in our inventory. Both actions, as explained by Antonio and by myself, were taken in order to guarantee the stability from a financial point of view of our supplier and to guarantee that we have enough material to restart next week. I think I responded, Anna Maria. I missed something or not?
There is a very last point, which is the possible impact on the resolution 116 of the authority, Paolo.
Okay. First of all, that resolution applies only for the month of April. Up to now, we will have a clear picture tomorrow, that is the end of the month. Up to now, we have received very few communication by our commercial customer that they want to use it. The impact, according to our estimation, should be very minor. So we will be able tomorrow to have a clear number, because tomorrow is the end of the month and the date in which the invoice should be paid.
Thank you. Let's move to the next group of questions. In terms of CapEx and operation, can you just maybe highlight what could be the guidance of an impact on the CapEx for the full year, as you mentioned, the closing of some non-essential activities? Do we expect to impact our capitalized cost? And overall, if we can provide any visibility of guidance in terms of potential impact on CapEx and what's going on?
Okay. As explained, we have already seen in the first quarter a reduction thanks to the month of March, of the meters installed. Even though our result in the first quarter in terms of investment have been much higher than last year. April, of course, it's a month in which not only we did not install smart meters, but also we stopped all the construction in progress everywhere in Italy. So, May, we are going to restart most of the activity. We will not be at full speed immediately, as you can understand. It will take some weeks to go back to the full speed. So overall, let me add one comment on the smart meter, because our plan was to finish the replacement, to terminate the replacement of the old meters by July, by the end of July. We have, of course, the remaining part of the year to recover. So smart meter installment will be recovered. So by year end, all our meters will be smart. So the amount of investment allocated to the smart meter is confirmed. We should have probably some reduction in the remaining investment. I would probably say that this reduction amount hopefully will be recovered during the remaining part, but we don't know yet. Having said that, having said that, we say that our view on the 2020 investment is to stay, if we are not able to recover everything, to stay in line with the investment recorded in 2019. While, of course, our planned investment was higher than that.
Thank you. Moving to the lockdown and impact on costs, and the reaction, do you have any particular incremental cost to signal due to the COVID? And do you expect to be able to set any incremental costs? And how much is the digitization helping? What more can be done?
For incremental cost, we have experienced the donation for which we don't want to disclose the amount, that is one of the incremental costs we have experienced. Since the end of March, we have focused, because the lockdown was completely, we have focused in order to reduce our cost. We have made an agreement with the trade unions to use for all our staff and personnel, let me say for all the personnel, to use the holiday, the vacation day that were accumulated at the end of last year. That you know that this amount represent a cost for the company. So during the whole month of April, we were able to put on vacation about everybody by an amount that was nearly 50% on the staff side, and by 20-25% the people in the operating people, the people that are working in the operation. So that is a way in which we have addressed the cost issue from a personal point of view. We didn't use, and I want to underline that, and I am proud to say we didn't ask for what is so-called the cassa integrazione. We did not use that system, but we used a more soft system, like using the vacation accumulated at the end of last year. From a digital point of view, as I said already, we have used all our technology in order to guarantee safety of our network, to guarantee our operation, and we have been extremely successful. We are going to accelerate and leverage the use of the digital technology because we feel that they will guarantee at least the three components or three elements. The first one, health and safety of our personnel. The second one, the possibility to restart faster our activities. The third one, to reduce our cost. The fact that we were able to work in a remote situation, of course, I can imagine that in the next month there will be a reduction in travel activities because we have been experienced successfully to connect one to each other remotely without the need to be physical connected. And so there are many, many other elements of our day-by-day life that is going to be impacted by the new situation and by the use of the digital technology that will result in a cost reduction. So we will see, starting from April the 1st, we will see some cost reduction going on, and we will see more and more the use of the digital technology. For example, we have digitized our digital factory. So during the month of April, our digital factory has continued to work on the application that they are developing. And even though everybody were located in a different location, they were able to connect maybe 40 people in one single digital room working on the application to be developed. We will continue to do that, and our digital factory will continue to deliver new application or upgrade of the existing application in order to give to our personnel all the technologies that they needed to continue to operate in a different manner in the next weeks, in the next months.
Thank you. Now, regarding the tender process, what the impact of the COVID situation? Are we holding a discussion with the government on possible acceleration of tenders? What the power that can be exercised by the government to allow that? What the role of the company?
Well, as probably I have already told you in the previous conference call when we discussed the 2019 result, that we have experienced an increase of questions and data coming from the municipality about the tender. And probably because everybody are working at home, everybody are working remotely, everybody are doing activities that in our previous life were not on the top of the list. So in fact, in the last couple of months, we have received many questions from the municipality about data. So we expect that these request will probably have as a result some new tenders to going on. Which one, we don't know yet, so we will see in the next month. Regarding discussion with the government, yes, we have discussion with the government, with the Ministry of Development through our national association, ANIGAS. ANIGAS, supported mainly by us, has produced some idea, some proposal how to accelerate the tenders. I need to say that the tenders need to happen and need to be awarded because our economy will need investment in the infrastructure. And as I said many times, our investment are the most precious one because every euro that we invest, the multiplier in terms of gross national product is 3.3. So they are extremely valuable, our investment. So hopefully we will try and we'll try hard. Hopefully we will find a way in order to have some new regulation from the government to push, to accelerate the tenders and therefore to accelerate the investment.
Thank you. M&A and COVID, long list of questions, but I think all of them go to the point, which is, should we expect a slowdown or rather an acceleration of M&A given the current COVID situation or more in general?
Well, let me say that I don't see the connection between COVID-19 and the M&A, to be honest. I see more the connection between M&A and the new regulatory framework. In a sense that you have seen the impact on our numbers in the first quarter, 10 million in respect of last year. A similar impact, of course, with a different magnitude, it will be recorded by the smaller operator also. Probably as soon as they realize the impact on their revenues about the new regulator, I think some of them will think about maybe it's the time to sell. The only element connected to COVID-19 is that sometimes in order to start a negotiation, you need to see the owner, especially if there are small operators, you need to see the owner on a face-to-face basis. Maybe you need to wait maybe a couple of months before getting in touch personally with the smaller operator and ask them if they are willing to sell. If I have to guess, I'm sure that in the second semester of 2020, we will see some opportunities driven by the new regulation, not driven by the COVID-19.
Thank you. Moving to financial costs and debt, three questions. The first one is what the status of the debt market that Italgas is seeing at the moment. The second question is the cost of debt of the company, whether we see a risk of an increase given the Italian government yield. And the third question is related to the recent downgrade by Fitch of the sovereign debt and whether there could be an impact for Italgas.
Antonio, would you like to answer?
Yes, thank you, Paolo. I would start saying that the financial market is open for companies, for issuer and borrower like us. We don't see any problem with refinancing. So this is the first comment. Second comment is there any link between our cost of debt and the Italian government yield evolution? The answer is no. We don't have any contractual provisions leading to that. It is clear that I'm talking about the current outstanding debt. For the future financing, which we could raise in the following year, in the next year, it's clear that we cannot exclude an indirect impact, but please take into account that we don't have any refinancing exercise in 2020 and 2021, and the first bond going to maturity in 2022 after the liability management executed last year is only in the amount of around 300 million euros. Then the comment about the Fitch downgrade by Fitch. We have seen yesterday Fitch downgrading the Italian Republic. After such a downgrade, today the Italian Republic has a rating equal to BBB-. Our rating with them is BBB+, so we stand two notches above the Italian sovereign risk. As far as we have understood, according to the publicly disclosed by them, such a difference is not to be considered an automatic, cannot imply an automatic effect, an automatic reaction. We understand that the decision of the rating agencies will be taken evaluating the issuer one by one, verifying the business and financial profile of the issuer, of each of the issuer, as it is impacted by the macro condition in the host country.
Thank you. Moving to the Resolution 570, which set the new tariff for this year, can we please update the market on the legal case, as well as we received question on the meters compensation, the additional compensation, which Mr. Gallo, you commented during the call already.
Regarding the fact that we, not only we, not only Italgas, but all the operators and all the association have filed against the new regulation in the court, we don't have, for the time being, any dates at which these elements will be discussed in the court. We are pushing because this discussion will happen sooner than later, but considering the current condition related to COVID-19, most of the courts are still, most of the tribunals are still closed. Regarding which is the amount regarding the amount to the smart meters in case of the full recovery, I've already told you that would be in the range on the first quarter, so relevant to the number of smart meter that we replace in the first quarter of 2020 would be in the range of 5 million euros.
Thank you. A few questions on Toscana Energia. They sum up to the potential of having now control of the company consolidated, the potential of cost cutting and efficiency initiatives, if you will see any material one.
Well, you know, Toscana Energia, also in the past years, we have done a lot of activities in order to share the advantage of Italgas also in Toscana Energia. Think about the meters. It is in place since many years, the fact that we are buying the smart meters also for Toscana Energia. We are buying many things on their behalf, and therefore, for example, on the procurement activities, we have already experienced in the past year in Toscana Energia, of course, the efficiency that we have in Italgas. Of course, we try to even push even hard in trying to find efficiency that most of them will remain in Toscana Energia, so will be shared with the other shareholder, and we are happy for that. We are working very hard, and we will continue to work very hard in the future months about increasing the integration between the two companies, trying to leverage the best practice each of the company has, and sharing the different experience, and I'm sure we will have some additional saving efficiency. Mainly they will remain in Toscana Energia, but do not expect a huge number because most of them have been already achieved in the last 2-3 years with a common, for example, procurement activities.
Thank you. A few questions about a bit more longer term. We've been asked whether our business plan is confirmed in June, whether there will be a guidance, and if we have already any comment about the dividend policy potentially.
Well, let me say, from a guidance point of view, as always, we will give you a guidance beginning of June, especially after having experienced a month of May, in which we will know exactly how our activity are restarting. We are internally discussing and debating if it makes sense to keep an update of our industrial plan of June or eventually to postpone it in September. We didn't make any decision yet. We will communicate if the industrial plan, the revision of the industrial plan, will be postponed. we will communicate it on a timely manner to the market. But the discussion is still going on. You can imagine that we have been working since the beginning of the year of the new industrial plan. Now, in the view of the COVID-19, we are trying to understand which is the impact also on this new situation on our plan. Regarding the dividend policy, you know that it's a matter of discussion inside the board of directors, and it is normally based on the new industrial plan, where the board of directors is able to see the future result that we envisage in the plan, and therefore, based on that, the discussion on the dividend policy will be taken, and a decision will be taken also.
Thank you. And on the international growth, there have been some rumors about potential Intergas being potentially interested in some asset in Greece. Is this still something that we are considering? Is there any update there?
Well, we, as you know, we have submitted our expression of interest back in February. We have been requested to provide additional information, more detailed information about our company. We provided them, we provided to the Greek fund this information, even though it was a little bit difficult to collect signature and to put together documents, and the notary was also documents requested to be notarized, but we did it all. We are waiting that the Greek fund, we know that there has been an extension about providing documentation, I think by the end of by beginning of next week, we have already provided everything, so we don't have to provide anything more. And we expect thereafter that the Greek fund will identify, will declare which are the shortlisted company, and from that point on, we will know which are the tender condition. We should have access to the data room. And of course, our interest is not is always the same. We are very much interested in that Greek privatization.
Okay, and the very last question. There were some comments by one of the ministers in Italy about Eterna's NAM discussion. We received a question whether we have talked about that, or whether, you know, we think the in distribution will make sense to have some those kind of discussion as well between gas and
energy. I've seen that there is some article recently about a potential merger between Snam and Terna. Let me say that the activity is completely different with Snam and Terna. They are acting on a natural monopoly. We are acting based on concession that lasts for 12 years. There are more than 200 operators in the natural gas. There are many in the electricity distribution. Again, they are also acting the electricity distribution based on a concession that lasts, I think, until 2029. So, I mean, it's a completely different market. The only update I see is that I would like to see a consolidation in our sector, so in the gas distribution, that would be already a big success to significantly reduce the number of operators. We always said we see that after the tender there should be no more than 10, 20 natural gas operators. That would be a great success for our sector, for our economy, for the capability of the company to invest. I don't see any a comparison between this idea between about Snam and Pern.
Okay, thank you. Operator, are there questions from the line?
No, at the moment, but if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. Thank you. There are no questions. Please continue.
Thank you. So, thank you, everyone. If there are any extra follow-up questions, myself and Armando are available. And sorry again, I do apologize again for the technical issues.
Thank you to everybody, and I will hope to see you soon in person, and stay safe.